In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the Rundown with Rob Sanders.
Well, we're waiting.
Welcome into the Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. My name is Rob Sanders. Thanks for joining us today. We got a great program planned for you. The number to call if you want to get involved, 803-978-1832. What are we going to talk about? Well, we're going to talk about strength of schedule according to the FPI. And it reinforces something that I brought up yesterday at the end of the show. Basically, if you play in the SEC West, you can make the argument that you play a tough schedule. If you don't, you should probably be quiet. Anyway, we'll get into that momentarily. Two different things with the NCAA. The first one is, actually, both of these are pretty big, to be honest with you. The first one, though, that we'll get into is just a story that broke not long ago. You can find it out. All the information on this on the blog page at FoxSportsRadio1400.com. The NCAA is expected to approve a one-time transfer rule, according to several sources. The council will meet today and tomorrow to resolve the transfer issues, as well as the host of other topics, including what the post-June 1st recruiting calendar will look like. With this, people are going to tell you that it's the start of free agency in college athletics. Well, free agency means you can go anywhere that you want. In reality, you only get to do this once. So I don't know if it's the whole free agency bubble of, hey, you got to do it. You can do whatever it is you want. Yeah, you get to transfer one time. So the idea of it being a complete free agency thing is kind of silly. But it is a big move, because now I think this makes it obviously it makes it harder on coaches, because they have to keep players on the team. They don't have the luxury, and I guess they didn't really have it before, but now they don't have the capability to just keep guys there. They can move on and play the next season. You could have something theoretically where you could have a guy playing for your rival the following season. You never know how that's going to work out. That's going to be an interesting thing, though. And once it comes to pass, I mean, it does open up for the college athlete the ability to go and play wherever it is that they want to go. So that's some interesting stuff there. I kind of agree with this, because coaches can go wherever they want to go. I don't agree with the fact that it's like, all right, if coaches can do what they want to do, players, you know, they have to stay put. You know, I think that it does make it harder to evaluate a coach, though, because you could theoretically have, let's say you're a coach and you got your offensive line set, and three out of the five guys decide, I'm leaving, and we're all going to leave together. Things like that can happen. If that does happen, you go into your season sporting your second-string offensive line. And that's going to make things tougher on some coaches. I think that it takes away the idea of coaches that, the CEO-type coach is going to be bigger now. Meaning that I think that we're going to have a lot more teams that are sort of like Clemson. I'm not saying Dabo Swinney doesn't know the X's and O's, but it's more of a CEO-type atmosphere up there. The guys that are his coordinators, they're paid very well, and they're the ones that handle the football X's and O's side of it. I think that's how things are going to be now for a lot of colleges, and it's going to be where your coach is going to have to be a salesman, and he's going to have the ability not only to recruit them out of high school, but to keep them there. And that's the big, big thing there. And with that, you know, I think it's going to change things across the board. I really, really do. I mean, coaches have to be able to recruit now And I think that's important. But now they got to keep the guys there. So we'll take your comments on that at 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. The other thing is that the NCAA backs transgender athletes, says events will be placed in places free of discrimination. The NCAA backed transgender athletes, according to this story from NBC News, saying it won't hold championship events in locations that, quote, aren't free of discrimination. Republicans in more than two dozen states have targeted transgender athletes, the NCAA Board of Governors said. It fits firmly and unequivocally supports the opportunity for transgender student athletes to compete in college sports. It said it's more inclusive policy for transgender athletes, which requires testosterone suppression treatment for transgender women to compete in women's sports, means inclusion and fairness can coexist for all student athletes, including transgender athletes at all levels of sport. You know, it's one of those things where I feel like whatever I say, I'm going to anger people, but this is just a cloudy area, to say the least. I mean, that's pretty much the way that it comes down to it. Governor McMaster, from right here in the great state of South Carolina, he had a comment yesterday, which it's fun. I pick at Governor McMaster because he does sound like Foghorn Leghorn. He does. But McMaster was asked about what the NCAA said. Here's what the governor said.
I know it doesn't. I think the NCAA ought to mind their own business. If they want to pass laws, they need to run for office.
Yeah, you tell them, Governor McMaster. If you want to pass laws, run for office. Well, they passed the laws for the student athletes, sir. And with that, yeah. That's how that works. Tom with a great point online. Notice how they made no mention of female to male, though. So females deciding to play on the male side, there wasn't really much of a mention of that anywhere that I've seen. I'll tell you what, though. I'll give you an example of that. I was watching the Titan Games, you know, the show that The Rock did. I was watching that on demand the other day when I was at the gym. It's a very uplifting type show, and it makes you want to work out harder. Don't judge me for watching crappy television. But they had a person on there that was a transgender athlete, and they were a woman when they were in college, and they were a championship basketball player for Stanford. They go into the Titan Games, and you know they've done everything that they need to do to be a man now. And they were competing on the men's side. And this guy got, I mean, it was, you could just tell. Yes, he looked, you know, he had a beard and everything, looked just like a regular guy. He gets out there in the athletic portion of it, though, and the guy that he was competing against blew him out of the water. And it wasn't even close. It was just an issue of this guy was much stronger, and it looked like he had more muscle mass, et cetera. And I don't think it was an issue of, hey, the other guy didn't work out. It's just, I think that women's sports are going to take a hit with this. I really do. I really, really do. I don't agree with Governor McMaster saying you should run for office. They run everything with the NCAA as far as the athletes go, sir. But I understand the governor's sentiment. I really do. If you want to respond to what the NCAA is doing with that, it's interesting because here in South Carolina, we had the ban for years because of the Confederate flag flying at the State House grounds. That comes down. Last, what was it, two seasons ago, we got to host a regional at the Colonial Life Arena. And you had, eight teams that came in here, something like that. I know it was Duke, Virginia, Central Florida, a couple of other teams that were here. It was a big event. There were lots of people downtown. There you go. So we may not have that anymore if some of these the legislation that is put out there by different state houses goes through. But you know what? here's the interesting thing, too. If enough places across the country do it, where there's basically a blanket law, which isn't as far-fetched as you might think, what's the NCAA going to do then? What if across all 50 states, there's something saying, hey, if you're a transgender person, you cannot compete under, you have to go with what you were at birth. That's probably, that's not that far-fetched. What's the NCAA going to do? Move everything to Canada? I don't know. It may end up where everything's in California. That's not far-fetched either. Either way, two interesting stories from the NCAA. If you want to respond to that, 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832 is the number to call. Tom says, I'd give up hosting a championship to protect women's sports in South Carolina. Very valid point, sir. Brandon Kuhn is wrong today. He says, hello, the Browns must finally be serious about winning. They signed Jadeveon Clowney today. I've got some interesting stats on that that say that it's a feast or famine deal for them. And it has nothing to do, you know, we'll go ahead and do that now. I've got my stuff with Jadeveon Clowney. He signed a one-year deal with the Cleveland Browns for a, what was it, $5 million base. I think it's up to $10 million is the deal, okay? But a lot of that is based on incentives of, can he stay on the field? Can he stay on the field? And Jadeveon Clowney has had some issues. I looked up some stats on him earlier. His last sack was 17 months ago. Yes, Jadeveon Clowney's last sack in the NFL was 17 months ago. Now, when you look at it from that perspective, yes, he was injured last year, but he's dealt with injuries throughout his career. He's had the microfracture surgery. And with that, that's put some damage. I mean, he's had surgery on both knees. Now, when Jadeveon Clowney is on, he's worth every penny. And if he's completely healthy this year, he'll be a great addition to the Cleveland Browns. But it's definitely like a flyer that they're taking on him. You know, we all look back to that game with Michigan in the, I think it was the Outback Bowl, where he knocked that guy into next month. And you remember that. But Clowney's had not necessarily the best pro career. And he's 28, so maybe there is an opportunity for him to right himself, but the reality comes back to, if you can't get on the field, you can't make plays. So we'll see how that works out with Jadeveon Clowney. One other stat that's interesting, Bud Dupree tore his ACL for the Pittsburgh Steelers last year. The Tennessee Titans paid him $82 million. So he tore his ACL last year. They paid him $82 million, but they wouldn't pay Jadeveon Clowney. Now, wrap your head around that for a second. They're the same age. Clowney's been to three Pro Bowls. Dupree hasn't. But he got an $82 million contract, and Clowney didn't. That tells you what at least one team thinks about Clowney in the NFL. Me personally, I think it's an issue of his durability. And I don't know if I can put top dollar money behind it, because you don't know if he's going to have it or not. We'll take calls on that too at 803-978-1832. 803-978-1832. That is the number to call if you'd like to join us here on The Rundown. We're also taking calls on the NCAA backing the transgender athletes. And we've also got the story of the NCAA is going to approve the one-time transfer rule. I've made Tom upset. He said that's because the Steelers don't know how to win anymore. The Steelers won their division last year, so I hate to bring out facts there. But anyway, if you want to call up and talk about the signing of Jadeveon Clowney, we'll have that for you. Actually, we'll go to the phones right now. And welcome into the Rundown. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rob. It's Ray. How you doing today?
Hey, buddy. What's going on, brother?
Oh, not much. I was just, you were talking about Clowney and stuff and,
yeah,
you know, injuries and football. And it's a shame how injuries can take away from a great player or a good player. And it's just all about if you could stay somewhat injury-free or you can bounce back. Right. To be quite honest with Clowney, I don't think he's been injury-free since his junior year at Carolina. I
think he was injured his senior year of high school. So, I mean, let's just be honest about that. I mean, he's battled injuries. He's battled injuries his entire career.
He really has. And it's just, you know, it's a shame, but that, you know, a lot of players have that situation. It's just a shame, but anyway, I hope he does really good this year. Maybe he'll just, you know, take on one of those, if he's healthy, that you got to be healthy. Take on the Oakland Raider mentality, the old Oakland Raider mentality, you know, us against the world, you know, just win, baby. But, you know, I mean, it's just a shame, but anyway, it'll be interesting to watch and see what happens there. But anyway, I'll listen to your show, and I'll call in later in the week, Rob. But just want to weigh in there.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot. All right. Well, you know, one of the things with Clowney, he won't have to play every snap. Cleveland's got some options there. So they can bring him in as just a specialty pass rusher. But you know one thing that Clowney is really good at? Clowney's great at stopping the run. And having him on the field where you think there's going to be running plays, that might be something that can really make Cleveland a little bit better this year. The over and under for Cleveland in the NFL is NFL picks as far as Vegas goes is 9.5 wins. If Clowney's healthy, they should win 11 games. I mean, I truly believe that. He's that much of a game changer when he's healthy. But I don't know how healthy he's going to be. He did pass a physical, so that's good. But we shall see how things work out for the former number one overall draft pick. Brandon, with a couple of questions online. Did I talk about college baseball yet? Clemson got blown out by the College of Charleston last night with Chad Holbrook. Yes, they lost 13-6. Clemson started a freshman pitcher last night, and they've been playing a lot of freshmen. And the Clemson baseball team right now is not exactly – I think they're 15-14 on the year. They lost to, I think it was, I don't know what the College of Charleston is. They're not exactly lighting the world on fire themselves. But it was definitely a slugfest last night. The Charleston DH, Steffi, I believe his name was, hit two homers. And Clemson just couldn't recover, couldn't get that timely hit. And Brandon says, is Monty Lee on the hot seat? 15-14 right now, lost two of the last three series. Versus South Carolina and has never won a regional. Look, I don't think the South Carolina regional or South Carolina thing is as big a deal as you might think because he won, what, 5 in a row, something like that. So there's that. Winning a regional, though, I think is important. And Clemson's had teams where they could win a regional, where they had guys like Seth Beer and other guys that could do things for them, but they just couldn't get out of it. They had that regional with Vanderbilt one year, and Vanderbilt beat them like they stole something. I mean, it was bad. So there's definitely that, too. But I don't think Monty Lee's on the hot seat. I think right now he's just dealing with a lot of youngins. I use the term youngins. They're grown men, but a lot of young players. And I think that there's a section of the Clemson fan base, I believe, from my social media feeds, not really happy with what's going on. But I don't really know which way they could go. Monty Lee's respected across the country. Now, I know Gamecock fans are like, yeah, Chad Holbrook's respected across the country, too. And I get that. But I don't know if it's really the same type of thing, though. I don't think the Clemson fan base is completely turned on Monty Lee, sort of like the way that the Gamecocks turned on Chad Holbrook. But we shall see. Plenty of baseball left, by the way. Clemson's got half a season left, basically. They could go out and, they're 15-14 now. I don't know how many games they've got left, but let's say they've got 25 games. If they go, 18-7, you know, that's good enough to get them into the regional conversation. You go to a regional, you win a couple of games, and then all of a sudden, that's like the best deodorant ever. But we shall see. South Carolina, by the way, they beat up on Charleston Southern last night, winning 9-0. Josiah Seitler, a grand slam in the fourth inning. They're starting to figure it out. Now, they've had some issues where they go on streaks here. They're very streaky. But they are playing some pretty good baseball. The 11th-ranked Gamecocks will play at LSU tomorrow night. So, yeah, there's that. Next week, by the way, when Arkansas comes to town, Joe Healy from Baseball America will join us on Thursday and Friday. So if you are a college baseball fan, one of the best baseball writers in the country, will be sitting in studio with us that day. So make sure you check out the show that day as Joe Healy joins us next week. Really looking forward to having him in here, and we'll pick his brain and we'll ask him questions like, are the Gamecocks really back? Who's going to come out of the SEC? Because the SEC right now is like the crab pot, man. You've got so many teams, and one team looks like they're going to surface up, and the other ones pull it right back down. So, yeah, they're basically kind of eating themselves over there in the SEC. Lots of good baseball teams. Really good baseball teams. We'll take a quick break, and we come back. We'll have more for you on the rundown. You can reach out to us at 803-978-1832. My name is Rob Sanders. I'm on Twitter at Rob Sounds Good. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Rundown. 803-978-1832. 803-978-1832 is the number to call. I was going to talk a little bit about some strength of schedule stuff with the FPI that came out yesterday. If you play in the SEC West, you can make the argument that you theoretically can play a tough schedule. Although preseason stuff doesn't really matter, and I'll explain to you what I mean by that. Your schedule should be judged about the number of ranked opponents you play at the end of the regular season, not what they were ranked when you played them, because those rankings are generally wrong. Okay? At the end of the season, how many teams that finish in the AP top 25 did your team play? That's how you can determine what your schedule is. Now, people that ride the SEC coattails, they'll tell you, well, we played the number 7, number 11, number 18, number 23 team this season, so we're the most awesome team ever. No. At the end of the season, they weren't ranked 7, 11, 18, and 23. Two of them were ranked, the other two weren't. So, just stop. Doesn't make any sense. Brandon says, how is Mississippi State at 8 in the FPI? They were 3-7 team last year. I don't know. The FPI is a computer simulation, and it's something interesting to talk about. What I do like about the FPI is that it does adjust during the season. So it does take into account that other teams can possibly change. And they can. I mean, they really, really can. So the most perfect example that I can give you on teams being ranked very well at the beginning of the season and then falling off, what was it, a couple of years ago? Alabama played Florida State in the opener. Florida State was a top five matchup. That was the way that it was pitched. Florida State won, what, four games that year? Four games? Yeah, but trust me, Alabama fans were talking about, we beat a top five team, that's what we do. That's exactly what came out. And that just, it just blows my mind, the level of stupidity. Edwin with a good point about Texas. You look at teams as they finish. That's how you can tell how good they are. Another example is last year. We talked about it on the show. Nobody thought Arkansas would win a game. That was the mentality. Arkansas may go through their schedule and not win a game. What did Arkansas do? They won, what, four games? Shocked everybody. Arkansas was a much better team than we thought they were. And it can work the other way, too. It really can. And it can work the other way with this, too. If you play a team and they're not ranked at the beginning of the season and you beat them, but they finish with a much stronger record, that's a more valuable win than playing a team that was ranked and then ends up not ranked. I don't understand how people can't figure this out. It's like you have to force feed them with a slingshot. I just don't get it. According to the FPI, though, what I said yesterday about playing in the SEC West, you can say, hey, theoretically, we have a tougher schedule. You can make that point. By the way, with the SEC stuff, the top team from the East is South Carolina. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they play Clemson. Novel thought. As Tom doesn't want to talk about that online. the toughest game on South Carolina's schedule every year is generally the Clemson game. I know that hurts a lot of people's feelings around here. It is the Super Bowl for South Carolina every single year. Used to be the Super Bowl for Clemson, too. But they've kind of moved on past that. If you want to talk about the strength of schedule stuff and the lie that the SEC tells you, and that's what it is, an absolute lie, we'll take your calls at 803-978-1832. 803-978-1832. Before you call up there, let me save you some time. If you're going to tell me that you're in the East and you play a tough schedule, I really don't want to hear it. Playing Mizzou, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, South Carolina, doesn't really impress me. Doesn't really want to impress me. Blake with another lie online. Clemson doesn't want to schedule an SEC West team for a home-and-home. Let's see, they've done it with Texas A&M. They've done it with Auburn. I don't know what else you want. I mean, at least have facts when you're coming to the show. We can go back and look at that. What was it, two seasons ago? Clemson's national championship season, they went into Auburn and won the first game of the year. But keep on keeping on, man. Keep on keeping on. Whatever it is you need to tell yourself to mock up that SEC banner, man. More of your calls when we come back. You're listening to The Rundown. This is Fox Sports Radio 1400. Welcome back to The Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Some comments from the chat room over there. Edwin says Clemson and LSU are scheduling a series coming up. Yes. And by the way, it doesn't just need to be Clemson. It just doesn't need to be just Alabama. This should be across the country. I mean, you should be scheduling good stuff throughout the year. We've talked about this before. I mean, I'm all for the 10-game conference schedule. Your two games after that, one of them needs to be against a Power 5 opponent. The other can be an FCS opponent so you can help out the smaller schools. Just saying. That makes a lot of sense. And you have to do 10 games to take it out of the athletic director's hands. Because if not, they're going to schedule the absolute easiest way for them to get to 6 wins. And that's just the way that it is. If you do the 10 games, the folks that cry, the SEC's great, the SEC's great, they may have a better chance of getting my opinion on their side of things. Because if you're in the East, you're going to have to schedule more teams from the West, which means you may play Alabama every other year. We use Alabama because they're the best team. It could be Auburn. It could be LSU. It could be Texas A&M, whatever. The point is that you're going to have to play more teams from the West, and that can make things a little more interesting. It also will water down the West, though, because you're going to play teams from the East that just aren't quite there yet. But either way, if you want to take calls on the strength of schedule stuff at 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. Someone had a point online that they would like to see Clemson playing a series with Florida. That would be great, but Florida doesn't do that. They don't play out-of-conference games out of the state. They just don't do it. They hide under that banner and just hope that no one notices. But when was their last non-conference game? Was a long time ago where they played outside the state of Florida. So, Brandon says, what do you think about the home-and-home South Carolina scheduling? They're all versus ACC teams, Virginia Tech. Yeah, that's great. That's great. If they're playing true home-and-homes, I don't really like the neutral site games. You don't really get the feel for that when you're at a neutral site. It just doesn't, I don't know. It's like, I don't know what the best analogy I can use for it is, but home and homes, man, that's the way it should be. You know, get your team where, I think a team is more respected in my mind. We'll use Clemson as an example. You play your conference schedule and, you know, you have to go through that. You have South Carolina on your schedule, but then your other three games, let's say one of them you play at LSU, one of them you welcome in Texas A&M, and then the last one is a game with I don't know, insert team here. You could go with Furman. All right? So with that, if they go through that schedule and they're 10-2, but their loss is a loss to LSU on the road and, you know, one other loss on the schedule, pick one. That to me is more impressive than going 12-0 with, you know, going through your conference schedule, winning over South Carolina, and then beating up three teams that you're going to win by 50. I'm not saying losing's bad. I'm just saying that the quality of your opponent should be better. And with the way things are with TV and everybody can watch your big 50-inch TV right now, pull up whatever you want. You can watch the games while you're on the phone, in line at the grocery store. You can do that. You can do all of that. I think people are shying away from the games a little bit. And I think with the pandemic, I think there's going to be a section of people that are going to maybe not go to games as much. That's just me. We'll have to figure that out. I say that, and then in Texas, they had the Rangers opened up 100%, and they were hanging from the rafters in Texas Stadium. Blake says, talk about the 25% attendance rule being mandatory for all teams. I have to research that a little bit, sir. I think I know what you're talking about, though. Tom says, I don't mind the Charlotte games for UNC and USC or NC State and the Gamecocks. Yeah, but the home and home would be better, though. It would be better. Knowing you're going to play North Carolina here, and then there you're going to go up there the year after. That just makes so much sense. Another comment, Alabama announced 50,000 for their spring game, but that's like 50% for their spring game, but that's like 65,000. Yeah, there are certain states that are basically declaring themselves done with the pandemic. My son's autistic, and he runs around telling people, I'm sick of COVID. And that's how a lot of people are acting here. I'm sick of COVID. We're just not going to deal with it anymore. Hopefully, we're at a point now where the amount of vaccinations are out there that people don't get it, because I don't want anybody getting the COVID, especially getting it from, hey, going to watch their favorite team play. I couldn't deal with that, man. That would bother me a lot. Now, I know that I don't have a problem going somewhere with once I get my vaccination squared away, but I don't know if I want to be around 80,000 people anyway. I don't know about all that. I did not know this. Ole Miss throwing their beers up in the air after home runs is being called COVID showers. Who called them that? Wow. Tom says it's nice for the players to be in an NFL locker room. Well, South Carolina's locker room looks pretty good from what I gather. I know the facilities for both South Carolina and Clemson and Alabama and LSU's facilities, all of them look great. But just going to an NFL locker room, I don't know if that's worth it or not. And how do you feel if you go to one of those games and your team gets, you know, popped? Especially if it's at the beginning of the season, you kind of lose hope. I'd rather have them at home. Anyway, we'll take calls on that at 803-978-1832. 803-978-1832 is the number to call if you'd like to join us here on The Rundown, right here on Fox Sports Radio 1400, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. There we go. I think I've fixed our sound issue there with the folks online. But anyway, we'll check on this and make sure we're good to go over here as we get ready to go to a break. Of course, you can reach out to the show at 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. As we talk about strength of schedule today, we talk about Jadeveon Clowney and his deal with the Browns. You think that's a good deal for them? Also, the strength of schedule I mentioned, the NCAA announcing the or is expected to approve the one-time transfer rule. That's interesting because you can go and transfer one time without penalty. That is a big deal. Absolutely big deal for a lot of college athletes. And I tell you what, one thing we didn't really talk about, and you know, bring this up now. if you look at your team and you know that any player can possibly go somewhere else and not be penalized, it's going to make you think really hard about wanting to fire a coach, because these players can go at the drop of a hat. Think about that. People that were calling for ex-coach on social media, oh, this guy's got to go. We can't be losing these games. Players see that. If the coach gets fired due to fan pressure, these players can bolt with them in a nanosecond. That's something to think about with this one-time transfer rule. 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832 is the number to call if you'd like to join us here on The Rundown this afternoon, right here on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Of course, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show. Got a couple other little notes that we'll get out there. But you can talk with us about that. You can talk with us about the NCAA backing transgendered athletes. If you want to get into that as well, we'll be happy to take those calls. 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. This is The Rundown. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio 1400. Davion Clowney put out a message today to the folks from the Dog Pound. Which, by the way, that's a cool, cool fan base, man, with the whole Dog Pound thing they got going up in Cleveland. That's kind of just a cool place. He says, yo, it's your boy, Jadeveon Clowney. Shout out to the Dog Pound, man. Let's get it going. He says on his social media message there. Hopefully he's healthy, because I tell you what, if he is and he's on one side and Myles Garrett is on the other, look out. Look out. I mean, the Browns will be... Now, see, here's the other cool part about that. Not to jump too far down the Browns tree here, but the reality is that now the Browns, they can look for a cornerback in the draft and make that defense a little more stronger. I'm not saying the Browns are going to win the Super Bowl, but they might win the division. Brandon wants to know, out of Gamecock players currently in the NFL, who's had the best career? I mean, that's simple. That's Stephon Gilmore, without a doubt. Without a doubt. You could go Alshon Jeffrey after that. I could definitely see that. And Clowney would be in the top five. I guess I just expected so much more from him because he was a generational type talent. Remember, this is a guy that coming out of high school, everybody in there, I mean, he had so many offers that it was insane. Tom says, I should do my top 25 ranking of college football stadiums when the teams are playing in their peak. Well, that depends on what you consider their peak. You know, I may do the research on that, but Alabama Stadium looks really interesting. The whole light show they do is pretty crazy. Brandon's right about Melvin Ingram has been really good for the Chargers. Yes, sir. Completely agree on that. You know, but with stadiums, though, I mean, that's one of the things with the ACC. You don't really have a tough stadium. I mean, you can argue that Florida State is tough. You could argue that Clemson is tough. But after that, I mean, Louisville's okay, I guess. But it's not like it's the most, you walk into it and think, oh, wow. But I think for a stadium to be intimidating, you've got to win a lot there. You know? And for a while, nobody won at Florida State. Nobody's really winning at Clemson. So there was a point, what was it? South Carolina won like, what, 19 straight games at home or something like that? Williams-Brice used to be a zoo. And you know what? It still really is intimidating going down there. If you're down on the field level and you look up and you see all these fans and, you know, it's 80,000 strong or whatever the number is down there, if you're not used to that, that can definitely have an effect on you. I believe that. I really do. So I do think also that, you know, the South Carolina fan base, man, they're passionate about their team. Most of the time, they're going to fill that stadium up, even if the team is not that good. Not that good. Jordan says Virginia Tech. Yeah, that's a very good one, sir. The whole thing with Metallica at the beginning of it, that's an interesting stadium to play in, too. Blake says he can attest that the ACC teams bring the fans to the bowl games, and they're just as... Yeah, it's not a question of the fans, just a question of the atmosphere. You're going to have huge fans regardless. It's just which stadiums are more intimidating, you know? Like, if you go to Syracuse and you catch a game there, I mean, it's an oversized basketball arena, you know? It's not really the... not really what you want. Alan says that Rooster Audio makes me hungry. I think he's talking about the Gamecock down there. That's kind of funny. That's really funny. Tom says they pack Williams-Brice out even when they aren't winning. That's what sets them apart from other schools. You know, and I agree with that. The thing with South Carolina is it's never the fan base. You've got a passionate fan base. They are going to show up. And if they're winning, they're going to be over the top with it. Look at the baseball team. When they won the two national titles, getting a ticket to a game was stupid hard. And, you know, going to a football game down there now, you know, pre-pandemic, by the way, generally, especially all the conference games, they sell out. And there is an atmosphere down there that's one of the better in the country. 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. And the stuff that they've done, too, down there. You know, growing up as a kid, I remember the farmer's market across the way. And they've gotten rid of that and moved that to a different spot and made, like, Gamecock Park over there. And, I mean, it's a completely different experience. The stuff they put around the stadiums with the palm trees and everything else. I mean, aesthetically, it's really nice. So it makes you wonder what's it going to take eventually for South Carolina to be one of those the top level teams in the country, because it's not an issue of facilities in my mind. It's not an issue of the stadium. I don't really think it's an issue of the fan base, and money is not really that big of a deal either. They got rid of their coach, paid him what, $16 million to go away? Jordan says South Carolina has passionate fans, and now they have top-tier facilities. They're doing the right things to get the football program back on track. It's a matter of making the right hires. I agree with that. And Tom says he would enjoy seeing Williams-Brice get those Alabama stadium lights. To me personally, I think that looks stupid, but that's just me. It looks like a techno show. He says, imagine Sandstorm, but it's flashing garnet and black. I would give people seizures. I really believe that. Those lights, man, being someone that's had seizures, I would be like, oh, maybe some sunglasses or something. Blake says, remember Arkansas fans wearing brown sacks over their head at the end of the Morris tenure? Yeah, I remember that. It's a mess. Tomorrow on the program, we'll look ahead to South Carolina's matchup with LSU, a three-game set for the Gamecocks as they get into SEC play. LSU has not been playing typical LSU baseball. I think I can say that without upsetting some of the LSU folks that listen to the show. But still, playing at LSU is tough. And, you know, going in, I think with SEC series, I think it's all about just winning the series. You know, look at last week. South Carolina played a Mizzou team that had won 10 games coming in. Mizzou came in and won that first game, and the Gamecocks had to not really scratch and claw, but basically establish dominance in the final two games. So I think that's kind of the way it is with SEC series, especially on the road. Really jacked about next week, though, with Arkansas coming to town, one of the top-ranked teams in the country. Joe Healy from Baseball America joins us then, and we'll have him in studio with us to talk baseball and everything else. So really looking forward to that. One of the best baseball writers, as I said, in the country, so... And he's gonna come and hang out with us and then go cover the game. So there you go with that. Blake says the Alabama lights would be banned if it was anybody else. I don't understand. I mean, I guess you want to do things that are different. I know at some stadiums they have the whole thing with the app, that you get the app and you shine your app at the set time or whatever, and you can see everybody's lights shining and all that. I don't know. Whatever it takes, man. Whatever it takes. Anyway, looking forward to next week with that. And tomorrow we'll have maybe some more NFL draft talk tomorrow. Who's going to go after the three quarterbacks are taken? I can't believe Mac Jones is going number three. I think San Francisco is joking all of us and they're going to take Justin Fields. I think they're just putting that out there because they want people to think that. I really do. I think the more and more you look at Justin Fields, I think he's better than Mac Jones. And upset some folks, man, but that's just my opinion. So we'll talk about that and some of the other players that are going to go out there. I think J.C. Horn's probably one of the best defensive backs in the draft, and he's going to go in the top 15. I think a good fit for him would be the Carolina Panthers, who could always use some help at defensive back. It seems like you need millions of defensive backs in the NFL nowadays. Jordan says he would take Fields second. Yeah, I think he's better than the kid from BYU. I don't know why everybody fell off on Justin Fields. I don't like the way he left Georgia, but, you know, the whole thing of I'm going to call everyone a racist, but I'm going to leave my sister here, but I want to make sure I'm eligible immediately to play. I didn't like that, but I'm sure that was somebody else that told him to do that. But as far as a player, he's great. Don't forget, Lawton Swan of Clemson Sports Talk is next. He is the czar of Clemson Sports.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
Follow him on Twitter at Clemson Sports. I'm on Twitter at Rob Sounds Good. Podcast will be up at 5 o'clock. We'll be back at it tomorrow right here on Fox Sports Radio 1400.